brought to you by the Computer History Museum.
Welcome to From the Archives of the Computer History Museum. I'm curator Chris Garcia. Computers have been used in the generation of poetry since the late 1950s. By the 1980s, there were even commercial products to help home users create their own automatic poems. In 1983, computer programmer and Grolier Award-winning poet Grace Morton visited the Computer Museum in Boston. Here, she demonstrates the use of her TRS-80 computer in the generation of poetry.
I've become interested in how poetry could make use of some of the special abilities of computers, some of the abilities that you just can't get with regular writing. And I came to this sort of the way most writers would come to it, via the word processor. Because originally I thought, you know, computers, math, technology can start, you know, the whole thing. But once I got a word processor, I decided that a computer actually made a pretty good typewriter. So I started using it. And then after that, I discovered that computers could do even more than be typewriters. They could play games. And so I got some adventure games. And they were really entertaining. And I was playing around with a keyboard. And I began to think that what was happening here is that the audience can affect the entertainment. That's no longer a spectator sport. And that got me thinking about how computers might fit in with poetry. Because now you can have the reader in a whole new relationship to the poem. Like traditionally, the artist writes the poem, gives you a piece of paper, and you read it. But now, with a computer, the reader can actually affect the what happens on the screen. So the main group of poems that I'll be reading are what I call tree poems. And that's just what they sound like. They're poems shaped like a tree. And the trunk contains the first lines of poetry, which are the same for everyone. But then the poem will ask some questions, and it will branch, and that will depend on what kind of mood you are in. It will ask you different sorts of questions. So I think the best way to show you is just to start out on that. What is your name? Let's get a name. How about your name?
David.
Let's have a favorite color. Just any color anybody likes. Green. All right, green. What is your favorite woman's name? David, do you have any preference?
Caroline.
Okay. Caroline.
Yeah.
What four things do you wish you could afford to buy? Anything anybody wishes they had?
Computer.
All right, how about the, let's do the Cray one. All right, anything else you'd like to have?
Space shuttle.
Oops, I spelled it here. Okay, we have two more things. What else would you like? Would you like, how about some super stocks, since the market's going up? One more thing.
$1 million.
All right, $1 million. That's even better than stocks. Now we finally are going to get to the poem. One of the nice things with computers is that you can have things move around on the screen. Allegro Penseroso. Allegro Penseroso. A tree poem by Grace Morton. Starring Emily Dickinson, Walt Whitman, Houseman, Pablo Neruda, Scrooge McDuck. I am your actor. I will what you will. As I walk, do I find a silver flower or a black stone? What would you like to find?
Silver flower.
Okay, silver flower. I'm walking in a springtime park among flowering quince and green benches where children play catch with the sunlight. Suddenly, I see a nearby path, brown as sugar and cinnamon, curving left, curving right. This road could lead anywhere. Shall I follow it? Shall I?
Yes.
Okay, why not, as you say. I hear sounds. Is an oriole singing quietly or excited people talking? People? Okay. Ahead I see city spires. Buildings slice the sky and streets wheel outward. Windowsill geraniums, holiday mobs, gutter bottles, running, shuffling, VW Eldorados, fire escapes, garages, neon lights, gossip, yelling, car horns, faces, eyes, Macy's, gimbals, professions nourished by this source of frenzied energy. So we have a picture of the city. Neon lights, neon flowers, silver roses, neon flowers, silver roses. She rules a garden, sown July 4th. Something's happening to the city. Her crown smashed Pepsis. Running and shuffling becomes her robes worn shoe leather. VWs and Eldorados becomes long jointed car snakes. We're changing from a literal view to a surreal view. Beneath iron ivy, a grotto of Yamahas. Neon pond lilies. In the old city, it was gossip and yelling. Now it's she sings mantras of ambulance sirens. Faces and eyes becomes her eyes ferocious. Macy's and Gimbel's becomes for bargains on the wealth tree. Stevedore, engineer, governor, they gather up her seed pods. From their hands explode miracle fireworks. And that's a surreal view of the city. So let's hurry, hurry to the city, to the city, to the city. I hurry from the quiet park into this wild civilization. I enter the great city square. I am caught in a maze of random people. But in the crowd is a woman dressed in green. That's your color, who shines wondrously in my eyes. And in front of a bank, a wild fiesta of people in gaudy colors. Do I might work my way to that special woman or the fiesta at the bank? Any preference?
The woman.
The bank. Well, we'll go to the bank because there's more graphics. I see hundreds of laughing people. I rush into the bank in the wild festival and ask a young woman, what's happening? Why all this throng? She answers, I'll tell you. This is how I spent my day at the First National Bank. As the days grew like the money, stacked up, flat, identical, we secretaries said, what can we do? From the top floor, we danced down among green confetti. Arrest them! And we kept dancing. Straitjackets! And we showered them with silver. The secretary shakes the dollars from her hair. Let's dance. As I take her hand, the mail boys boogie out, dancing with the wig-haired typist. Then tellers waltzing, corporate executives doing the horror. We do the mambo through the hallways, disco down the great front steps. We bring ingots to the subways, gold pieces to the tenements. Everywhere we scatter little suns, and the bank is an empty fort, and we give all the money away, and we set the days free. The secretary tosses me a package. It is $1 million. She laughs. I'm Carolyn, catch me, and runs off. The crowd jostles and shoves. She's almost out of sight. Do I follow? Okay, follow. I catch up with the secretary and she stops. Do we suddenly gaze deep in each other's eyes? Or do we blow all our money in a shopping spree?
Blow it?
Okay. Spending money is more inspiring. So, some super stocks, space shuttle, $1 million, Taiwan, super stocks, Taiwan, $1 million. Everything you ever wanted, supercomputers, spaceships, my money bin. I love to swim in all my money. I love to roll around in it and dive in it. I love to throw it up in the air and have it hit me on the head. I love to burrow through it and float on it and dance on all my money. And so we leave the city laden with gifts and wealth. As we go, we look back and see the city, strange and surreal. We look again and it is different. Shall we look another time?
Sure.
Okay. Now, one of the problems of not knowing machine language is that it takes a while for these things to appear. Since that time, I've been learning machine language. But as it draws, we might think a little about what has been happening. When we chose to come to the city, it meant we were in a more lively mood, an adventurous mood. And so we ended up in the city. And if we had followed that woman, we would have ended up having a romance. So the poem has been branching somewhat according to our mood, which has been a more lively one. And this is a little unlike adventure games, because there you're looking for one branch and in which you win. Whereas here, it's one day you might want one kind of poem, another day you might want a different kind of poem. And another thing I tried to do is have you use your words in the poem so that the woman you met had your woman's favorite name. And this is to make it relate to you a little more. And then the other thing that we have that you can't have with regular poetry is you can have motion and graphics so that words can move around. So that when the city changed from the literal to the surreal, you could follow it change and you could see it change phrase by phrase. The goal of all this is, well, eventually I'd like to have the poem make a portrait of the reader as the reader's reading it and respond to that in order to present you with a poetry that's really meaningful to you. And this, of course, is just multiple choices. But there could be much more complex ways. All right, this is a picture of the city finally got drawn. To David, the path beneath your feet will be a golden street. Shall we look another time? That's enough. Better not to look back. The past is seeded with false lessons, and the future gives incredible delight. And that's the end. One of the branches. Let's run it one more time, and we'll see if we can get what it's like on a different branch so that you can get some idea of the difference in tone. Right. What is your name? Let's see, what's your name?
Bennett.
Yeah. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Blue? Okay. Favorite man's name?
John.
Okay. Right. We need four things that people would like to buy. So, do you have any suggestions? Pardon? Could get some beautiful flowers.
Silver comb.
Silver comb. What? Sailboat. One more thing. Island. Okay, let's have an item. Might as well have the words. Okay. This we've seen before. Allegro Penseroso. Allegro Penseroso. A different poem. A tree poem. I am your actor. I will what you will. As I walk, do I find a silver flower or a black stone? The wine of midges and dusty light itches through this heavy afternoon, and flowers droop like ruined silk. Suddenly, I see a nearby path. A crow caws in his threadbare voice. Follow, follow the path to the dark pines. Shall I follow the path? No. Visit the city? Well, we already visited the city. Shall we do anything? We might as well do something. Suddenly, I see a nearby path. Brown as sugar and cinnamon, curving left, curving right. This road could lead anywhere. Now, we've sort of branched around. We could have gone to the dark pines, but here we are looking at this path. So we'll follow it. I hear sounds. Is an oriole singing quietly, or are excited people talking?
Oriole.
All right, we haven't done the oriole yet. So, sun, sunlight. Or sunlight. Once again, you have words be parts of pictures. With this computer, the graphics are very low resolution, but with the computers now, you could have a very beautiful picture. I go admiring. Apple trees, lighted like green glass, border sunny meadows, where orioles sing about their dreams. and in clear rivulets, trout flicker like little medallions. I look ahead. Shall I see a draft horse pulling a load of grain or sunlight on the shoulders of a mountain? Mountain. The mountain sat upon the plain in his tremendous chair, his observation omnifold, his inquest everywhere. The seasons played around his knees like children round a sire. Grandfather of days is he, of dawn the ancestor. The mountain is earth reaching for the sun. The sun is our candle in dark space. Shall I climb the mountain to see as far as my eyes and mind will let me? Okay. I reach the base, begin climbing. I find new lands, for apple trees and clover give way to lichen and spruce. I travel through time, too. Spring leaves shrink back to buds, and the air becomes March. At the top, space and times are before my eyes. Though it is still day, the stars give us messages from the universe. A black and white violin, the universal machine meditating on itself. A cloud, a rose, a sun. Random matter generator, mathematics. Gravity potholes on the space-time road. A mine of infinity. Future past Mobius Street. A lizard made of rubies. Instantly endless. The moon kisses with blue light. Inexhaustible program. Self-originated, self-infinite. The rainbow sun sends greetings to Rena. An accidental miracle will bring gifts. Sailboat and flowers. Island and a silver comb. The stars are smiling. And that's how that poem ends. And as you see, it's considerably different in tone from the other one. Now, I'm going to load the next one in. So bear with me a minute. If you have any questions about this kind of poetry while we're waiting for this to load, because it'll take about 3 minutes.
How long have you been working with the microcomputers in your art?
Well, I guess about a year or so, actually working on poems.
Are you working in association with a group or independently?
Just independently.
Are you able to get support for your work? I think it's very good.
No, but at the moment, my goals are just to learn better programming and perhaps work with a color computer, because there you would have access to color and to sound and, all kinds of things.
Do you envision any commercial uses of this, or are you just doing it because you like it? Have you installed exhibitions and such with these?
Well, I've given one other reading. It would be nice to do some kind of commercial thing. And if we have time for the last poem, it's a children's poetry with some little games in it, and something like that might be commercial. The other thing might be to put something like this on the source, because the problem with this is, you can't really do too much with readings. It's sort of a personal thing, and the person should have a chance to say their own favorite things and relate to the poem.
From the Archives is gathered from the audio holdings of the Computer History Museum. It is produced by curator Chris Garcia. Music is by John Plute. For more information on this and all of our other audio holdings, please visit computerhistory.org. Thanks for listening to From the Archives.
This program was brought to you by the Computer History Museum.